This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org.
Do you know what happened to man? Man was created in God's image, and then that image became distorted. And when that image became distorted, God moved in order to restore man to the image of the glory of God. What are you doing with God's creation? What are we, as the United States, doing with God's creation? Oh, beloved of the Father, guard His glory. Give the world a true estimate of who He is. Guard His glory. If I were to guard His glory, how am I doing this? If I am glorifying God, I'm giving a true picture, a true apprehension of what God is like. I want us to go back to Psalms 106 in our Bibles. This is from our last session together. And we're going to move between Psalms 106 and Exodus 32. So, last time we started off with Jeremiah chapter 2. We were looking at what happened when God's people changed their glory for that which does not profit. And we went from Jeremiah 2 to Psalms 106, verses 19 through 21. So, this is what I want us to do. I want us to make sure that we're cross-referencing our Bible, because remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. First, I want you to know that if you found this program, it is in the sovereignty of God. Second, I want you to know that God has a plan and a purpose in it, and that purpose is not for you to simply hear this one program, but the purpose is that God has connected you with us so that you can discover truth for yourself, so that you can go deeper into that truth, so you can fulfill God's calling on your life, which is discipling others, teaching them to observe all the things that God has commanded them. So, the whole purpose of this program is to take you and help you know the Word of God for yourself. We need to know the importance of knowing and studying the Word of God. The importance of knowing that the best interpretation of Scripture is to let Scripture interpret itself. In many of our Bibles, we have cross-references indicated either at the foot of the page or maybe in the middle of your page. But there are other references that may pertain to these verses as well. So, if you're studying with us next to Psalms 106, verses 19 through 21, I want you to write Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 8. However, before we go back to Exodus, I want to read these verses to you in Psalms 106, verses 19 through 21. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Now, you may say, where on the earth is Horeb? Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. You know Mount Sinai. It's where the children of Israel received the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words from God. God came down, and there was fire and smoke and thunder, and it had frightened them badly. It's where He gave them the Ten Commandments, and it is where they heard them, and they said, as we read in verse 3, then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord, and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. Or if I may paraphrase this is right and we'll do it. Specifically, God had told them in chapter 20, verses 4 through 5, that you shall not make for yourself an idol, or any likeness of what is in the heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. I am the only real God. I am the only true God, and you are going to worship me. But they made a calf in Horeb, the very place where God had given them the commandments. They made a calf. They made a molten image, and they worshipped it. They had exchanged their glory, the glory that God had given them. They had exchanged God's glory for the image of an ox that eats grass, as we read in Psalms 106. And by doing a cross-reference search, we'll begin to see and understand what God teaches us about His glory. Next, let's go to Exodus 32, verses 1 through 8. Now remember, the book of Exodus is the account of the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, where they'd been made slaves under the oppression of the Egyptians, and then being taken into the desert and to Mount Sinai. There God gives them commandments by which they are to live, and then He gives them the instructions about building the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, or the Hebrew, Mishkan. This is where His presence was to dwell among them, His glory, the Shekinah glory, which was present in the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and it was going to be in that tent of meeting that the glory would dwell. But we read in Exodus 32, verse 1, that the people were beginning to get restless and impatient. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, this man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Who is Aaron? Aaron is Moses' brother, and he is also the one that God sent to help Moses as Moses stood before Pharaoh. Because remember that we were told that Moses said he was slow of speech. We read that Moses at the burning bush had told God, I can't talk. Here am I. Send Aaron." That's my paraphrase of Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. So Aaron came alongside of Moses and went with him to Egypt. It's interesting to learn that Moses ended up doing all the talking anyway. So, after God set the Israelites free from captivity, He took them out of Egypt and saved them from the Egyptian army by parting the waters and taking them through on dry land. So, now we read that even while Moses was up on Mount Sinai talking to God, the people were down below saying to Aaron, who, by the way, was second in charge of this mass of people, that they didn't want what had happened to Moses, and they lost patience waiting for him to return from the mountain. They asked Aaron to make them a god that would go before them, to create a god that they would be able to see. So, what had Aaron done? In verse 2 it says, "Aaron said to them, 'Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.'" Did you hear that? He said to them to bring all of their jewelry. Where did they get that jewelry? They were slaves in Egypt. So, where did they get it? It says that their wives, their sons, and their daughters had gold rings in their ears. Well, that jewelry came from the Egyptians, because God so worked on the Egyptians that when the Israelites left, these sons of Israel, those that were of the 12 tribes of Israel, whose father's name was Yaakov and then later changed to Israel, when these children of Israel started to leave Egypt, the Egyptians were so happy to see them go that they were taking off their jewels, their gold ornaments, and giving them all kinds of precious things. These things that would later be used to build the Mishkan, the tabernacle, these had been provided by God, and they included the jewels, the gold, the cloth, the acacia wood, and much, much more that would be used in constructing the Mishkan. So Aaron tells them, "Okay, take off your gold rings that were in your ears and give them to me." In verses 3 and 4, we read what Aaron did with these items that were brought to him. "Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a calf. And they said, This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Now, just think about that for a moment. Think about the process. Let's get a real picture of what happened. They're taking off their earrings. They're taking off their jewelry. They are handing them to Aaron. Aaron is taking them. He melts them down, and he pours it out, and he makes an image. And then he takes an engraving tool and puts eyes into it, and the nose, and the mouth of the calf. And he says to them, as we read in verse 4, "This is your God, O Israel." You've got to be kidding me. I mean, where did this God come from? It came from jewelry taken from the Egyptians. Egypt, corrupt and sensual Egypt, a picture of a corrupt world. And the Israelites were taking what the world could offer them. And they were worshiping what the world, in a sense, their world has given them, instead of worshiping the God who had delivered them from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Now, listen to this verse again, and really listen to what it says. "He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" This was going to be something that they would have to carry with them wherever they went. The people now began to worship this golden calf and to give credit to this molten image for delivering them from Egypt. What did Aaron say to them? Well, Aaron actually built an altar before this image. Before what? Before it. The golden calf, the cow, the ox that eats grass. And this ox couldn't even eat grass because it was just a hunk of jewelry melted down. And what did Aaron say to them? Now, don't take my word for it. Let's read verses 5 through 6. "Now, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord.' So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." Now, watch. It's syncretism. The word syncretism means the fusion of two or more thought systems, and it can be applied to philosophy, politics, and religion. Religious syncretism usually involves the addition of a few essential parts of one religion to a dominant religion, resulting in a new religious system. When Aaron saw that the people had declared this image to be their God, what did he do? He made a proclamation that the next day they were going to have a feast to the Lord. Here's the jewelry that becomes a calf, and here they have knowledge of God. And so they take their jewels from the world and their knowledge of God, and they blend it together. And it's syncretism. They build an altar. They're not denying the Lord. They aren't denying the Lord at all. They are just changing his glory into the image of this molten calf. So, the next day, the people rose early and offered burnt offerings to this molten calf and brought peace offerings, then sat down to eat and to play. They sat down and they ate and they rise up and they're going to play. They're going to have a party. Party, party, party. And in verse 7, we read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.'" Now, remember, God and Moses are up the mountain, but God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. There's no hiding from him. And so, what have the people done? He says, they have corrupted themselves. This is what happens when we exchange the glory of God for an image. We corrupt ourselves. What happens when we exchange the glory of God for an image, for something other than God? Well, let's look at it. I want us to go back to Exodus chapter 32. Now, just imagine all those jewels, all that gold, and then imagine this being melted down. And then here comes the calf. Well, God has had it. In verse 7, we read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, For your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. I think this is worth underlining in your Bible. Even if only you want to do it in pencil, they corrupted themselves. Do you realize that if you have ended up in alcoholism, you have ended up in immorality? If you had ended up addicted to drugs, it's because you corrupted yourself. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame anybody else because you are the one that did the action with your body. Now, you're going to want to blame others, but you can't. They corrupted themselves. You see, each of us has the ability to say yes or no. Each of us has the ability to know what is right or wrong, because we have the truth of the Word of God. It says in verse 8, they have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed to it, and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, now carefully listen to this as I read verses 9 and 10. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now, let me alone. Let my anger burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation. Just imagine God saying this. He was pushing them out of his way and saying that he was going to destroy them and start all over again with Moses. Wow, that's quite the offer. My anger is red hot. I will just destroy every last one of them. And I will make of you, Moses, a great nation. That's my paraphrase. Now, a lot of us today would take him up on that offer. We would take him up on that. Now, think this through with me for just a moment. We would take him up on that because we desire our glory over God's glory. Because we've lost the fear of God. And we fear men, and we respect man above respecting God. And then man becomes the center of his universe. And the man that is at the center of this universe, or the woman that's at the center of this universe, is moi. It's me. It's what I want, what I desire, what am I going to get, or what I think, and what I believe, and the way that I want to walk. So, here is God making Moses an offer of becoming a great nation. Now, let's go back and see how Moses responds to this offer. In verses 11 through 14, we read, then Moses entreated the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, with evil intent, he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth. Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people. I just want us to stop and think about this for a moment. God made Moses an offer, and Moses turned it down because he wanted people to have a true estimate, a true opinion, a true understanding, a true fear, respect, and trust of God. And if God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov and broke it, what would that tell you about God? If God brought them out of the land of Egypt and then he couldn't deliver them and he allowed them to die in the wilderness, what would they say about God? So what is Moses doing? Moses has been tested. And Moses is desiring the glory of God over his own glory. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it amazing? Moses is holding to the true knowledge of God. Now, when you think about all this, you've got to think about the book of Romans, chapter 1, and that's where I want us to go next. And if you're studying along with us, you will want to write Romans chapter 1 as an annotation next to these verses, somewhere in Exodus chapter 32. Listen as I read Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. It's talking about all of mankind. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. What is he saying? He's telling us where idols come from. There's only one true God. There is no other God. This is what God is telling us in Isaiah 45:5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. But what had they done? They had turned from the knowledge of God, and they had taken the glory of God, an incorruptible God, and they had exchanged it for the image of something else, of a man, of birds, of beasts, of crawling creatures. If you were to go to India, you would see people worshiping other gods. They even have a rat god, and they are worshiping that instead of the incorruptible God. Maybe that's why there's so much conflict there. Maybe that's why there's a lot of killing and persecution of believers in these countries. You know, I tell my students that many people will believe absolutely anything as long as it makes them good, look good, and doesn't cost them anything. I remember an episode of Happy Days when the Fonz and Richie came across a group of people that were worshiping a head of cabbage. That's what man does when he loses sight of who God is. Man, left to his own imaginations, will follow or believe anything, or as I sometimes say, that some people take their brains out and play with it. Because what they believe, what they say, makes absolutely no sense in the scheme of God's plan and purpose for us. He is God, the absolute, mighty, majestic, all-knowing, all-seeing God. When people make for themselves images and call them their gods, worship them and live with false impressions of who they are and who God is, they live their lives in unbelief and imprisonment to false beliefs, false priorities, and to false hope. Sometimes I am sure that believers have pondered over the decision to go to the other side, to avoid the conflict and persecution. But the believers that do go over to the other side, that capitulate due to pressure or fear, because if they do, then they will have changed their glory, the true image of God, for an image made like man. Oh, beloved one, what is God's call on your life? It is to guard God's glory. It is to worship God as he is and not give in or yield to the temptation of the flesh to have its own way, to do your own thing for your own glory. God shares his glory with no man. And we're going to talk about this in our next session together. You're going to learn so much. I am so excited, and I can't wait to have you see it all for yourself so that you can put it together and constantly hear the Ruach HaKodesh speaking to you in your spirit. And he will tell you, guard you his glory. Guard his glory. God his glory. I am so anxious to share this with you in our next session together.
Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.